Let's turn this morning to Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul's writing. He says, "Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord." Can I just say he could have just stopped there and we'd have been good? Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever comes, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, just rejoice. But he goes on. He says this. He says, I never get tired of telling you these things. And I do it to safeguard your faith. If you want to get me wound up, start talking about Revelation. My wife says I repeat myself a lot. And you know what? She's right. I do. I repeat myself a lot. I don't tire of telling you these things. I really don't. And the truth is, I know it's a safeguard for you. I know if you know what to expect, I know that if you know that He really loves you, if you really can get it inside of you that He's not against you, that He's for you, that even right now He's fighting for you in the background, even though maybe you don't see it and you're wondering where He is, if you got that in your heart, it would change your life. So it's not a trouble for me. I'm happy to keep repeating myself. Let's pray. Father, help me today to share Your heart with Your people. Lord Jesus, help me today to share the truth that You have for them today. I pray, Lord, You'd help me not go beyond what's written. I pray, Father, that You would help the Spirit to move through me and in me in Jesus' name. Amen. So this last week, you know, we're coming into the high holy days, the fall feast of the Lord. And historically, if God's going to intervene in the affairs of men, these are times when He tends to do just that. These can be very serious days. And the days that we're coming into, they're very picturesque. And that's how God does things. You know, He paints a picture with what He's doing. The next feast that comes in on the 24th, it's called Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year. Now, that's their civil year. God gave them a new year, and that happens in the springtime. But Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. It's also called Yom Teruah, the day of the trumpet, the blowing of the trumpet. It's the day of the announcement. It's followed by Yom Kippur, which in general is a feast of judgment and repentance. We look at our lives and we say, you know, how did I do? Well, the Jews do this specifically. But it is a day of repentance. It's a day of seeking God. And that then is followed by a day of really victory. That is the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, Sukkot, it's called. We're coming into a time of announcement, judgment, and victory. Now, you could argue those points with me. I'm not trying to be legalistic. But that's the general picture that the fall holds. And this week, as I've been pondering on these things, the Lord gave me a word. I want to share that word with you this morning. But for me to share the word with you, I have to back up a bit, right? So I have to repeat myself. Things I've already told you a bunch of times, I'm going to tell you again. And like I said, it's really no trouble for me. So here's what we do know. Here's what God has shown us already. About 2 years ago, give or take, as COVID began to overtake the land, there was a word that came forth that we were in a season of a pop quiz. And I have to tell you, I like that analogy very much. A pop quiz simply reveals where you're weak with the material. Right? So if you're studying science or math or whatever you're studying, teacher says, take out a sheet of paper and I'm going to put some questions up and you're going to answer them. And what you find out is, do I really know the material or do I just think I know the material? So, it shows you where you're weak, but it also shows you where you're strong, right? There's areas where you go, you know what, I don't need to study that anymore. I've got that down cold. Strengths don't need any further attention, but weaknesses, once they're revealed, weaknesses require you to go back and study the material. Crack the book, as they say. If you think of Peter, the apostle, he found himself, I believe, in the middle of a pop quiz. See, he believed in his heart that he would not deny his Lord. In fact, that night he said, I'm ready to go with you to the grave if that's what it takes. And I think he said that in all truth. I think that's really his stance. And yet, when the actual test came, well, he failed. And he kind of failed miserably. He denied the Lord. And not once, but three times. And so the things that we think are in there, sometimes they get revealed. I thought this is the way I was going to go. Turns out not so much. Now, for Peter, you need to understand, that day, that night, that was a pop quiz. That wasn't his final exam. His final exam would come some years later. The weaknesses in his life had been revealed. He had time to get them corrected. And then when the real final exam came, he went to his grave in glory, in strength. He knew he's God. And he did exploits. When his final exam came, he passed with flying colors. So pop quizzes, I don't know why people say, well, I just don't know why God's doing this. Pop quizzes are often quite painful. I'm sorry, it's how it is. But they are of great benefit to you. They are painful. They do hurt at the time, but they're of great benefit. We saw this with COVID. Many believed in their hearts that they were walking in faith. Yet later they found that their faith was actually really quite weak. It was built on sand and not the rock. And then when the rains came, they suffered loss. Now, this wasn't the final exam. But it was a pop quiz, and it was a painful quiz. At that time, at the time COVID came, God had given us a word. And the word that He gave us at that time was that this pop quiz was going to come in three phases. There would be three distinct pieces to this. The first phase would be the virus itself. It was a health-based pop quiz, if you will. And as a gift of help for that time, he said, you're going to need the ring. And so if you think back to the prodigal son was given three gifts, the ring, the robe, and the sandals. And God said, the ring is what you'll need for the pop quiz of the virus. Well, that's a picture of your covenant. That's the promise that God made to you, and we had to stand on the promise. The second phase, he said, of the test that would come in the financial realm. And he said, for that we would need the robe. This is the call to sonship. This is the call of, my Father has the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm not in need because my Father's not in need. We are children of the King. And then the third phase of this test would be a test of unity in the body of Christ. For that, he said, we would need the sandals. And these are the gifts that were given the prodigal son. And so the first phase of these trials, these tests, is essentially over. COVID, for all intents and purposes, is defeated. I mean, there's still people running around like crazy, but for most people, it's nothing more than a mild flu. So that has pretty much passed. And so now we're watching for the second phase of the testing. This is going to be the financial test. And along those lines, about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, the Lord spoke to us as a church and says, time to get out of debt. Well, that was a happy word. I believe He was preparing us for the road that we find ourselves on today. For people who are still struggling in debt, interest rates keep climbing and it becomes more and more painful. And then at the beginning of this year, God spoke to us again. Amy gave us a word. It was out of 2 Samuel 20:22. The word was that this would be a year to remember. Out of 2 Samuel 20:22, we find a wise woman, and an evil man had come and hidden behind the walls, and the army had come, and they were going to take the walls down and everybody inside. And she said, you know what, let's just purge the evil from among us. Let's throw his head over the wall, and they won't destroy us. And that's what happened. They purged the evil from among themselves, and the army left. In July of this year, we saw the overturning of Roe versus Wade, something I have to be honest with you. I wasn't positive we were going to see. I prayed for it. But this is one of those hard things. I have to take a stand in truth. But will it actually happen? Could it actually happen? And yet God did it. And friends, this is the very picture of God purging the evil from among us. As we cried out for the evil to be removed, He did it. Now, the last month and a half, God's been speaking to us about a storm. I go out at night and I pray and I look and I can hear the thunder and I can see the rain. I can hear it. It's getting close. I know it's close. And He gave us a very clear word. He said, stay with the boat. If you don't know what stay with the boat means, it means you need to stick together. We need to stick together. Some of you in your lives, things are happening in a very strange way, and it's like, I don't understand why God isn't working with me. Why isn't this working for us? Because you're supposed to stay with the boat. You need to stay with the boat. What's coming? Whatever it is, I can't tell you what it is. I just see through a glass dimly, as Paul said. Whatever's coming will try to separate you from the church. That's its purpose. It will try to drag you away from the church. You can't let it. The storm that's coming simply cannot be navigated by men. I can't navigate it. You can't navigate it. Only the Spirit of God can navigate it. And a couple weeks ago, He gave us a word about the guide, the Holy Spirit being our guide. God's also been speaking to us about a great transfer of wealth, a promise in the Bible that those who are faithful with little would be entrusted with much. This word, too, is clearly financial in nature. I believe finances are about to be tested, and I believe that we're very close to that test. I believe believers are going to be tested by finances. Some people have been quite successful, but their hope is only in money. Money isn't going to save you in this hour. Christ is the only sovereign and the only Savior. Now, I get, as we talk about storms coming and, you know, the fall feasts are coming, and man, I've heard all sorts of just crazy things about what's going to happen with the fall feasts. Maybe they will happen. I don't know. I've asked the Lord. He hasn't told me. We prayed Wednesday night. He hasn't told us. And so I bring this up because this can all be a little bit scary, right? We also are going, ooh, this is going to be bad. Kind of like COVID. COVID was a scary test. I think for most people, we just didn't know what to expect. And when there's a lot of unknowns, we tend to reel in, we tend to tighten up a little bit, we tend to be a little more careful. And so it'll be with this phase. And like I said, as I was praying, as I was spending time Monday, the Lord gave me a word, and it was encouraging, and I want to share it with you this morning. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. This word, when it came, just, it really encouraged me. And I was talking with a lady, and I was out buying some stuff, and she looked really downcast, and I asked her what was going on. And she said, the hours, what's happening right now, I'm afraid. And everybody's talking about the 24th of September and just how bad things could be and how bad things are going to get. And I shared this word with her. Shifted her whole face. Yeah, and I had some things to do. I came back a few minutes later, and she was on the phone, and she put her hand in front because I just had to call my mom and tell her too. What I want you to know, friends, is that God has good intention for us. God is not against us. He's not against you. Everything that comes is for your good, not your bad. And you need to get that perspective in your mind. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Well, that would have been the logical way to go, right? So Israel has been released. The straight shot is right to Philistine country. For God said, if they face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. And so God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. And the Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear on oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. So all these people have left Egypt, and they're ready for battle, at least as far as they know, right? I mean, we think we're ready for battle, at least as far as we know. I mean, got the sword and everything. And they head out. Verse 20. And after leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham at the edge of the desert. And by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Remember a couple weeks ago? Again, I shared that word about the Holy Spirit as your guide. I just want you to know, I don't pull these things together like this. God directs these things. And I want you to know, He's right on time. We're right on time. We're right where we're supposed to be. We're not ahead of the curve. We're not behind the curve. Everything is right on time. God's plan is right on time. And so what's going to happen now is, time's just short. God is going to lead the Israelites to the Red Sea. Now, Pharaoh is convinced, they should have went through the Philistine region. That would have been faster, and it would have been more logical from a military standpoint. And so Pharaoh is convinced that Moses had made a strategic blunder. Instead of going around the northern tip of the Red Sea, where they would have ended up in freedom, Moses suddenly turns and he leads his people into a place that's called the Wadi Watir. It's a narrow canyon that winds down to the water's edge of the Red Sea. And at the edge of this canyon, there's this huge beach there. Today it's a resort. It's called Nuweiba. Nuweiba? I might not be saying that right. But what I want you to see is this. As they went down this wadi, and there is a mountain on this side, and there's a mountain on this side, and they're coming in to the sea where there's this big open beach, and behind them is the army. It looks like God has led them into a trap. That's what it looks like. Moses thinks this. Pharaoh thinks this. And all the people think this. It was a strategic blunder. And now they're going to die. Let's pick up in chapter 14, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians.' It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Listen now. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need be still." Here's the realities of life. Israel had been released from her taskmasters in Egypt. But the simple truth of the matter is, they would have never given up. They would have pursued Israel everywhere they went. They would have always, always been a threat to Israel. Always. God wanted Israel completely free from her taskmasters. It wasn't a mistake that He led them that way. It was an on purpose that He led them that way. He intended to destroy the Egyptians. What looked like a trap for the Israelites turned out to be a trap for those who were pursuing them. Let's pick up in verse 15. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide the waters so that the Israelites can cross through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." And then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Now skip on down to verse 26. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back into its place. And the Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea, and the water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. None of them survived. Okay, now time's short. I just want you to see the end of the matter. You'll find that summed up in chapter 15, verses 19 through 21. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. And then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam sang a song, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider, he is hurled into the sea." So here's the word of the Lord, friends, for us in this hour. As the storm approaches, as a time of testing comes near, it begins in a fearful manner. What happened to the Egyptians that day, it began in a fearful manner. It was so bad they thought they were going to die there. It will appear that there is no hope. Just like when they entered that wadi. But in a single day, the Lord turned their fear to hope, and then he turned their hope to celebration. What lies ahead for us may look very terrifying on the front side. We may think, this is it, we're in a lot of trouble. But God will turn your fear to hope and your hope to celebration as he delivers you. Israel needed to be separated from their taskmasters forever. On that day, he separated them and they never saw them again. In the same way, God says he's going to separate you from your taskmasters and they will never pursue you again. Now I want to paraphrase Exodus 14, 13. We just read it, but I want to just paraphrase it. It's the way the Lord spoke it. "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you. The taskmasters you see today, you will never see them again." You may need to take that word and fight with it. The taskmasters I see today, I will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. Just be still. Guys, it's an awesome word. I want you to take it into your heart. And as the storm begins to hit, look, I don't know what the timing of the storm is. Everybody says it's the 24th. It's like, wow, really? Maybe. I don't know. Whenever the storm hits, just take it into your heart and understand the storm isn't judgment on God's children. We're free from his judgment. Do you understand that? We're free from his judgment. What this is, friends, is a test for promotion. It's a test for promotion. How will you stand in this hour? I also need to remind you, I need you to ponder this. Faith without works is dead. Anytime you believe something to be true, you will act on it. You will do something with it. If you go back to Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, I want to be gentle with it, but God's kind of rebuking Moses. You know, their backs at the sea. And God says this. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? My guess is Moses probably go, hey, Lord, like water and bad guys and rocks and, sir, excuse me, down here. Why are you crying out to me? Do you hear what he's saying? Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through it on dry ground. See, friends, God had already given Moses everything he needed for the task at hand. He'd already, what's in your hand? What was in Moses' hand was a staff. Well, lift that baby up. Let's get going. Everything you need is in your hand. Now, you may not know this. got a friend in New York, and when I get confused about Hebrew things, I typically email him to find out just what exactly is going on. And he laughs at me because I'm one of those crazy believers in Jesus. But according to Jewish tradition, the Talmud says that Moses, that the water didn't part right away. He lifted the staff up, but the water didn't part at that moment. Talmud says, Jewish tradition, says that one of Moses' men walked out, and it wasn't until the water was waist deep that the water parted. Now, is that true? Oh, I don't have any idea. That's a tradition. But I can tell you this, if it is true, that's what faith looks like. Sometimes you have to take the step. Sometimes you have to make the move. Sometimes you have to say, I believe it, and I'm going to lay hold of it. I don't know what you're facing today. Everybody is facing something different. Same storm, different boats. We all have different issues going on, different things going on. But I know this. God has not led you into a trap. If the wheels come off the bus on September 24th and the whole world falls apart, God has not led you into a trap. He hasn't. He has led you into the hour of your deliverance. He's led you into the time of freedom from your taskmasters. There's no doubt when you enter that hour, it looks bad. It's like we're going to die here. But His promise to us is that in a single day, now I take, when He says a single day, that's what the Bible says. I take that to mean a very short period of time. Sometimes in the Bible, day, yom, means a day, and sometimes it means a span of time. I take it to mean a very short period of time. In a very short period of time, that fear will turn to hope, and that hope will turn to rejoicing. It'll turn into a celebration of victory. And guys, this is the pattern of the fall feast. There is Yom Teruah, the announcement. There is 10 days later, Yom Kippur, which is repentance and a judging. And 5 days later is Sukkot. Sukkot is a celebration where they build booths, the Jewish people do, and they decorate them and they live inside of them. It's a celebration of when Israel came through the Red Sea. And on the other side, they built booths and they celebrated. It's a victory. It's a victory that God delivered them safely through the Red Sea. Announcement, judgment, celebration, bang, 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 one, two, three, all happening in quick succession. Whatever the storm is that lies ahead, I believe that God's intention for us is victory. I believe that's His plan for us. And that may mean that when you see it, you know, a lot of people, when they first saw COVID, they freaked out pretty bad. I think everybody freaks out on the front side. Okay, when you don't know how bad something is, if you call 911 and say, Grandpa's having a heart attack, they're going to send a fire truck, they're going to send policemen, and they're going to send an ambulance because they don't know what's wrong. And so they just send everything. When things get really bad, human nature is to send everything. But once you get past that send everything phase, then you start paying attention to what's going on. Fear will turn to hope. Hope will turn to celebration. God has brought us to this hour for victory. This isn't the end. This isn't where we die. This is the beginning. Many things lie ahead for us, church. And it's time for our taskmasters to be removed. Father, I bless your people today. Lord, I pray that you would minister your life to them. Father, as they step into the hours of the things that they face, Father, some of them it's sickness, some of them it's financial, some of them it's children, families, unity. Father, I pray for us as a church, and Father, I pray for the church at large. I pray, Father, that you would help us to remain strong in you, to know our God, and then to do exploits. Father, I bless this people in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage their hearts as we step into the last of the last days. In Jesus' name. Amen.